Hey, everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR and 2014. So, Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR and things that are top of mind from HR folks. So, we are definitely going to kick it off. I'm excited. We've got got a little tradition thing going on. Couldn't ask for anything much better. So introduce our first guest of the year again, Lori Rudiman. Welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Thank you very much. This is a great tradition. I really appreciate being asked back.
So, yeah, this is third year in a row.
Maybe, I think so. Maybe. It feels like forever, doesn't it?
It does. It's kind of dog years, let's be honest. Well, hey, if you would, introduce yourself to our guests, and then we'll kind of jump into what's top of mind on January 1st, 2014 for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So hello, everyone. If you don't know who I am, that's probably a pretty good thing. I'm a writer, speaker, and human resources consultant. I'm a former and failed human resources lady, and actually, Brian, this begins my 10th year of blogging. So, you know, it's an anniversary moment for me.
Wow. Well,
I know. It's crazy.
Decade of blogging. I mean, that's like almost ahead of the web. So.
Yeah, no. Not at all.
Well, yeah,
but my first blog was on Blog Post. So I've been out there for a while.
Well, that is, a decade. You know, there's not a whole lot of people that I know of that actually have a decade of blogging under their belt. Five years. I mean, there's quite a few people that really kind of jumped on 5 years ago, but 10 years. Holy shit. Wow.
It's
nice.
The longest, worst paying job I've ever had. So... congratulations for keeping this job as a blogger.
There is no doubt about that. So, well, question before we kind of jump into kind of what we're going to talk about. Have you looked at, pulled out first blog post, last blog post, and actually did the comparison of where you, you know, kind of did the reflection inventory of kind of where you were at, what has changed, if anything's changed, you know, how that looks like? How it feels?
Yeah, I've actually gone back. None of those old blog posts exist anymore because I was working at the time and writing anonymously, so they've all been deleted. But I remember the moment where I discovered blogging, and it was because an old boyfriend of mine sent me a note in February of 2004 and said, hey, look at this. I'm on something called Blogger, right, or blogspot.com. And I've discovered this new thing called blogging. And I thought, oh, my God, if this idiot can do this, I can do it. I want to be a blogger. And I remember writing about that, like, hey, I'm going to try this blogging thing out. But the funniest thing about this, Brian and Nisha, is that I didn't tell my husband for a couple of months because I thought he would think it was stupid. So I was blogging anonymously to, like, two people who read my blog, right? And I didn't tell him because I thought he would make fun of me. And it turns out he loved it. He always said, you're not a writer, Lori, until you write. And sure enough, he was right about me. So that began my writing career. I think from the moment I told him forward, I felt a little braver. So I'm glad I said something to him like, hey, Ken, I'm doing this thing. I'm sorry I didn't tell you. And from that moment on, I felt encouraged and my life kind of took off.
Well, congratulations, Lori.
Thank you. It's kind of a weird story.
For the 10-year anniversary of blogging, and you really set the stage for all the young and upcoming HR professionals in, going to your blog and read about all the latest trends that are happening in the HR industry. And more than that, it's really a great platform to get to know you as a person. So we really, really appreciate that.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. Now, listen, I don't blog because I care about human resources, and everybody knows that about me. I blog
yes.
because I love people in human resources. And one of the things I noticed last year in the human resources community is that a lot of people really had an uneven year. And I think the same can be said for me. You know, my life is awesome. I'm blessed. Right, baby Jesus, Ganesh, everybody on my side, you know, just rooting for me to have a great life. But yet, you know, I had moments that weren't amazing. And I thought maybe what we can do today, if you guys are game, is we can talk about what do you do when you have an uneven year and how do you recover, right? How do you make sure that 2014 is the year of Nisha or the year of Senior Wempen, right? So how do we make this year our bitch? That's what I want to talk about today. What do you guys think?
I think we jump on that bitch with all we got. I love that.
Perfect. Well, you know, I kind of constructed the day thinking about, you know, how I would want to first really overcome a bad year. And I don't know if you guys are with me on this, but I think the first thing you do is you really try to take stock of the year that you just had. And I don't mean like going back and just thinking about all the moments that were bad. I mean like really getting on your hands and knees and sifting through the dirt and doing an archaeological excavation of what went wrong, but also what went right. And for me, that means like writing lists. And some people like to do Prezis. Some people like to do PowerPoints, but I really think it's important when you fail or when you have a bad year to be honest with yourself and just do that tough work and, I don't know, get down on your hands and knees and look at those failed work initiatives, those mistakes in your job search. You know, Brian, people have had really rough relationships with their colleagues this year, and I think it's just important to be honest with yourself and do the work and not only take stock, but just have an honest assessment, have that moment with yourself. So a couple of bloggers that I think do a good job of this. The first one is Sabrina Baker. She writes a great and honest blog, and honestly, if I were in human resources and I had a bad year, I would read Sabrina's blog. And the other one is Sarah Davis Williams. She writes a great blog as well, and those are two people for me that if I had a bad year, I would follow. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, go ahead, Nisha.
Well, I really appreciate you highlighted Sabrina and Sarah Davis. I really, really love those two blogs, and I have an awesome opportunity to go to their blog and read about their personal life as well, especially when you talk about how to overcome a failure in their life. Both people have gone through, you know, struggles, and they wrote about how their life really, really sucked. But how do you really overcome? Because that helped the readers like us or like any other HR pros, well, not just HR pros, but any career aspirational professionals can help get a great advice on how to fix this trouble and, you know, continue in their life and career.
I would agree. You know, the other person I think of is Heather Bussing, who writes over HR Examiner. Yeah. So talk about someone who's really taken stock of her life and really been very honest. And she does this both on that website and also if you're lucky enough to be friends with her on Facebook. And she really pulls no punches and tries to do a deep exploration to make sure that the mistakes that she's made in her life, she's not repeating over and over and over again. So for me, those are like three great women to follow if you've had a year that was just in the toilet and you want to overcome it. So those are women, especially, you know, someone like Sabrina talks about overcoming obstacles in the job search. It's just so helpful to read from, you know, and learn from experts, and those are women that I would follow.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to highlight one more blog, which I really, really love, other than Laurie's blog, which is Steve Brown. I really enjoy reading his insights. He really pinpoint all those details that everyone goes through in their life, which we don't even want to discuss, or we might feel like, oh, this has happened in my life, and where do we go and discuss?
I agree. Steve Brown, he's the bee's knees. he's so great.
Yeah, that list of people are just, those are all amazing people. I mean, at the end of the day, they're very talented at what they do professionally and personally. There's just, you just have infinite depth with everyone you just talked about. And very luckily, they're conveying that so that people can, they're sharing that so we can all take a look at it and step into their perspective. Heather Bussing, she is definitely, in the last 5 years, one of the people that has made just a tremendous impact in seeing how somebody conveys kind of where they're at with what's going on, good and bad, right? And she's one of the people
right.
I definitely, anything she puts out, I read. I like the way she approaches things, and I just think she is the poster, the poster person for authenticity. She is literally the antithesis of that, of just, here's who I am. I really don't care. I'm just sharing for me, about me, so that it's very cathartic. So she's definitely one that, when it's whatever, I'm dealing with whatever, and I really need like hardcore objectivity, she's the one that I pulled ripcord on, and it's so fantastic. And everybody else is great. She's just one that, I connect with. And that's probably for me, as you talk about kind of, and I love the topic, as far as like not figuring out how to get the healthy parts out of your year and take control of that, take action on what that is and not carry that shit forward, and make room for all the good things that can happen, all of that type. All that type of thought process is because there are so many people that, are on the surface is like, oh, it's great and everything, but we all carry stuff, right?
Yeah,
that's the thing.
True.
We, there was just had a really good, real quick, we just had a really good conversation with a friend here, a couple friends, and we were talking about the concept of coming out of the closet, and she had posted a video of a TED Talk she saw about how we all have things, that we come out of the closet with, whether it's a bad relationship or it's something at work or we don't think we're really dealing with maybe it's a bankruptcy or it's just not being able to talk, have hard conversations that make us feel bad. We all have closets that, that we're trying to come out of to be happier and healthier. And I thought it was it was really interesting. So it's not just the major things like the having an affair and I'm coming clean on that, or I've got substance abuse problems, I'm coming clean on that to try and not carry that anymore. It can be little stuff. It can be little stuff like I absolutely hate my job and I don't even know where to start and I don't want to feel like a failure because everybody thinks it's a great job, right? Just little stuff like that. And it's killing my year. So it's 2014. So anyway, just a quick aside. Conversations. So.
Well, and I think that folds nicely into the second point that I think we need to do if we want to have a better 2014. We all need to come out of the closet, right, so to speak. And I think the second thing that we can do, and this is something that I've actually stolen from another blogger by the name of Ryan Estes, you need to create your own personal SWAT team, right? You need a team of advisors. Because honestly, Brian, if you could do it, if I could do it, we would have already done it already. We are all failures, right? If we had the potential within us, we'd be doing it. But we had a bad year, and it's time to really tap into the experts around us. So for me, some of the people that I tap into are Jennifer McClure, right? Jennifer McClure has been somebody who's on my personal board of directors for years, and I'm a better person for knowing her. Whenever I think about, how do I improve my interpersonal relationships with other women? How do I speak more eloquently? How do I work on my presentation skills? Whatever it is that I need to overcome, how do I act like a better wife, a better friend? Jennifer McClure is someone who has helped me, but there's also other people in the community, believe it or not, like Neil Morrison. I would say he's on my personal board of advisors. So I think if you want to work on things in your life, it's really important to beg, borrow, and steal from the best people in the industry. And Neil Morrison and Jennifer McClure are as good as it gets for me. They are on my board. So I don't know who you guys have on your board of advisors.
You named some good people there. That's and Lori, it was so funny that I met Neil. I met Neil in person the first time at dinner with you and a bunch of amazing folks in London. So and he's a hell of a guy. And you know, obviously Jennifer's just a pillar as far as how she approaches life.
Yes, so, she is.
I mean, she just is. I mean, it just you almost got to stand back and just kind of take stock of it.
I'm so in love with her, and I think watching her grow in our community too has been really, really super fun, because Jennifer is someone who is very introverted, but yet to watch her blossom into, honestly, an extroverted woman at some of these tweet-ups, if you know what I'm saying, she likes to dance, has been really, really fun to get to know her and see her. And I think, you know, there are other really great people in our community as well, whether it's Mervyn out in the UK or, you know, I don't know, there are a million people that I can't even think of right now. Even William Tincup, I would put him on my board of advisors. If I have a life issue that I need to face, I often talk to William because chances are he's seen it himself. So
it's one of those things that as you approach it, I mean, for me personally, as I approach some of these things, if I try and like go all in with the big grandiose plan, it can get overwhelming, right? To start like trying to sit down and really craft out all these things, and you know, because life is happening. You know, work is happening, and you just have a lot of things going on. Got to do the show every day, you know, all that stuff. And so having the ability and giving my permission to take bite-sized pieces of some of these things, like creating my personal SWAT team, my board of directors personally, that I can, like, figure out who I can get soft advice from if that's what I want, or get the hard advice from if that's what I want. Or just unload and vent if that's what I want. Because it takes different people, and that's the thing is, I've learned one of the things that I learned from another really good friend, and I just have got some amazing advice. And William Tincup, absolutely top of the list. I mean, there's lots of we obviously have talked for several years every day, you know, for a variety of reasons, but. You know, one of the things is getting right down to it is you need to have all sorts of different friends. Like, that's the one thing that I learned is, you know, labels are an interesting thing. They can be, sometimes I think they can be good. A lot of times they're not, because you put people into roles that you have going on in your own head, and society kind of puts you in. So I learned that you can have multiple, like really good or best friends that you're just in love with, and you ebb and flow through where you can be of service to them and where they can, you know, they can step in and just be the perfect person to talk to. And so, you know, that's one of the things that pieces of advice that I was given this year that I've learned real quick. And the second thing was actually last year on New Year's Day, I was in Atlanta, and one of the things that I was sitting with Jenny Devon and Chris Amarilla, so it was a pretty amazing New Year's Day, actually.
Yeah. Right.
And and they pull no punches, right? There's no,
they don't.
There's none of that, and that's the reason that Kathy Misselberg was there too. But I love them because they're as real as it gets. And I love that. And so we were having a conversation, and Jenny Devon literally turned me around and was like, "Look, dude, you need to take some risk." She goes, "This make 2013 your year of risk and just some different things." And she really had thought it out. It was so from the heart. And she's like, "Telling you because I love you." And, you know, and I think you also can handle it already. You just need, you know, a kick in the ass. And it was just one of those things that, and of course, Chris was like, uh-huh, yep, she's right. You know, just backing that up the whole way. So, but anyway, that's just, for me, it's bite-sized. For me, like what we're talking about, for everything that, you know, that Lori is sharing, I was combining words there, bite-sized pieces are all right because we have different thresholds of capacity, I think, that, and so not being able to do it all, not being able to run your marathon, you know, like day five of training, or complete your mile day two of training, whatever that is or that looks like, or learn a new skill. Like I can't do pivot tables like day two of looking at Excel. I've never had Excel, it's all right. Take bite-sized wins and build on that. Stuff takes time. That's my whole point.
I love it. Well, you know, I think we've hit some really great points. We've talked about taking stock and creating your own personal SWAT team. I think one of the most important lessons I've learned about recovering from a bad year is also that it's important to start having more fun. And especially for people who work in process-oriented jobs, I think it's really fair to ask, why am I doing this? Because if you're not having fun and you're the owner of a process, ain't nobody having fun, right? So whether it's, you know, company processes or even, I don't know, a company picnic or a potluck, or a wellness program, or a family interaction, or even, Brian, spending time on social media, I think in order to have a better 2014, you have to look at time being a currency. And this is something that entrepreneurs talk about all of the time, right? Time is often worth more than money. So are you having fun? Are you enjoying yourself? And people who really inspire me are people like Robin Schooling. You know, Robin is someone who made a very important career choice last year and started her own company. Someone like Lance Hahn, who went through periods where he was blogging, and then he wasn't because it wasn't fun, and then he started back up again. Or even the women of HR, many of them write about being moms and working and trying to find work-life balance. And frankly, I think 2014 for me is the year of asking myself, why am I doing this? If I'm not enjoying it, I'm not going to do it anymore. So I don't know, that's another piece of the component in recovering in 2014. I don't know, Nisha, Brian, what do you think about that?
Well, I totally agree that whenever you go through your career, it's going on. It's part of your life, but just remember to have fun, which is really, really important to actually, you know, rejuvenate your life. I just had 1 month of full vacation with my family in India, and I'm back now in Dallas. But those 30 days in my life, which I can really agree that, you know, spend time with the people who really, really care about you. And you can really admire that sort of belongingness or bonding feeling. And you come up with a great, great rejuvenating mind that, yeah, fully motivated. So as you're saying, okay, listen to social media, I totally agree that because we can see people are having fun with their family, going for a vacation, and giving more importance to their personal life. So they can balance their professional and personal life.
You can also see when they're not having fun. I think that's true, too. So you can
exactly see
the people who are angry or who are bitter or who are just generally mm-hmm. cranky, which quite honestly includes me at times. And I think it begs the question, if I'm not enjoying it, whether it's my job or my career or being on Twitter, why mm-hmm. the hell am I doing it? And so I think for all of us, and especially people in the audience listening right now, nobody is forcing you to look. Nobody is forcing you to be a voyeur. So if something, especially online, is bothering you, you have the power to turn it off. And I think that's the message I want to get across to people. But, you know, the next important thing, and really my final point for this show, is when we're having a bad year, a lot of times it's because our well is dry. And I think we've just kind of experienced all that we can in life, and it's time to have an adventure. And when I think about that, I think about someone like Tim Sackett, because Tim Sackett's philosophy in life is to say yes. You want to do something? He says yes. Now, he'll help you explore the consequences, right? And maybe saying yes isn't the first and best answer, but he's in. Want to go mini golf? Yes. Want to go see Lori in North Carolina? Yes. Want to fire somebody? Yes. But maybe you want to think about that, right? So for me, I wish in 2014 that more people would have an adventure, they would say yes to more things, and maybe everybody can't, you know, go on a vacation. Nisha, you know, you just came back from a wonderful 30-day trip, But we can have vacations from our own lives. You know, if we're used to going to Walmart, maybe we can start shopping locally. We can start meeting people in our local communities. And I think one of the other things I want to leave people with is that it's no joke that the NFL has endorsed playing 60 minutes every day with children. I mean, mostly they just want fitter, older people who can join the NFL and play football and get injured that way, right? But playing is so important. And I think for everybody in the audience, getting out, even if it's not for 60 minutes a day, but 15 minutes a day and getting exercise and being active, I know for me, that's the single biggest thing that's kept me sane throughout the past 10 years of my life. And it's my greatest wish for everybody, that everybody get outside, get active, and find a way to really enjoy physical activity. And I don't know about you guys, but I often hear, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time to play 60, and that's fine. But we waste so much time in our lives, being on the Internet, watching TV, reading really trashy novels, and we think we enjoy it. But if you have time to read People magazine, you have time to go take a walk for 5 minutes a day. So I think that's my most important message for recovering from a bad year, is that it's time to go have an adventure and be physically active. So that's what I think I want to leave everybody with.
Well, that is a I love – this is probably – the have fun part is in the ability to say no to things that you just don't. Bottom line is, like, I don't want to do it. That is absolutely – get your voice on that. I work on that on a daily basis. And this one, but this point, have an adventure. It is so appropriate because that was a big conversation that I've had. A friend of mine named Michaela and I are going to run a 5K probably February 1st. And so kind of putting the flag in and get back into a little bit of that, you know, into something that it's on the calendar, going to do it. But part of that is more the bigger thing about having an adventure, right? Because there's a series of adventures, small to large. And the adventure could be, to your point, Lori, is shopping at a little local, you know, a local store that probably has cheaper, fresher, more personable service that you just maybe is an extra half a mile out of the way, right? And has
absolutely.
Aren't as convenient,
and a new face.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That can be the bite-sized adventure.
Yep, absolutely. The other thing I like is that a lot of people read a ton of garbage on the Internet, and they say, oh, I don't like to read books. Well, I get it. You know, not every book has to be a SHRM book or an HR book, God forbid. And I think a really good place to start if you're interested in fiction is young adult fiction. And again, Neil Morrison is someone who can make great fiction recommendations. Lisa Rosendahl. You know, there are a ton of HR readers out there, many women and men who are very aware of some really great books. So you can start with science fiction or a young adult book or a fantasy novel. You don't have to read about process improvements and organizational design and stuff that you would do during the day. Turn your brain off and have a fun adventure with a different kind of book. That's what I would do.
Well, that's fantastic, and we've got about 60 seconds left. So, what would you like to leave us with to kind of put a nice, neat little bow on this conversation? Because it's been fantastic.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, I just wanted to thank everybody once again for reading my blogs over the years, and I'm really proud to be a part of the human resources community, even though I no longer do that work day to day. I've met so many great friends, and I can't wait for everybody to have a wonderful and safe 2014. And Nisha and Brian, I'll talk to you again in a year.
That sounds perfect. Everybody, check the blog out, because I know that you're going to probably recap some of the points that you shared here. And just everybody, you know, have fun. Have the adventure. Reclaim your year. And then, like I said, you'll get more details with Lori's writing. So, okay, folks, we're out of here. Enjoy the rest of your day. Lori, thank you. Nisha, always a pleasure. And we're out.
Bye, guys. Happy New Year.
in a German jail with a Cuban cigar. In the middle of Paris with a Dominican bar. Great head on her shoulders, she probably studied abroad. She transferred to Harvard from King's College in Mars. She says that I'm her favorite cause she admires the art. Michelangelo with the flow, Picasso with the ball.